Kevin ran up the steps of the Emporium Galorium. His father reached for him, caught nothing but the air an inch from the fluttering tail of Kevin's shirt, stumbled, and landed on the heels of his hands. They slid across the second step from the top, sending a quiver of small splinters into his skin. Kevin! He looked up, and for a moment the world was almost lost in another of those dazzling white flashes. This time the roar was much louder. It was the sound of a crazed animal on the verge of making its weakening cage give it up. He saw Kevin with his head down, one hand shielding his eyes from the white glare, frozen in that stroboscopic light as if he himself had turned into a photograph. He saw cracks like quicksilver jig-jag their way down the show windows. "Kevin, look out!" The glass burst outward in a glittery spray, and Mr. Delavan ducked his own head. Glass flew around him in a squall. He felt it patter into his hair, and both cheeks were scratched. But none of the glass dug deeply into either the boy or the man. Most of it had been pulverized to crumbs. There was a splintering crunch. He looked up again and saw that Kevin had gained entry just as Mr. Delavan had thought they might earlier, by ramming the now glassless door with his shoulder and tearing the new locking bolt right through the old rotted wood. "Kevin, goddammit!" he bawled. He got up, almost stumbled to one knee again as his feet tangled together, then lurched upright and plunged after his son. Something had happened to the goddamn cuckoo clock. Something bad. It was striking again and again. Bad enough. But that wasn't all. It had also gained weight in Pop's hands. And it seemed to be growing uncomfortably hot as well. Pop looked down at it, and suddenly tried to scream in horror through jaws which felt as if they had been wired together somehow. He realized he had been struck blind. He also suddenly realized that what he held was not a cuckoo clock at all. He tried to make his hands relax their death grip on the camera, and was horrified to find he could not open his fingers. The field of gravity around the camera seemed to have increased, and the horrid thing was growing steadily hotter. Between Pop's splayed, white-nailed fingers, the gray plastic of the camera's housing had begun to smoke. His right index finger began to crawl upward toward the red shutter button like a crippled fly. "No," he muttered, and then in a plea, "Please." His finger paid no attention. It reached the red button and settled upon it as Kevin slammed his shoulder into the door and burst in. Glass from the door's panes crunched and sprayed. Pop didn't push the button. Even blind, even feeling the flesh of his fingers begin to smolder and scorch, he knew he didn't push the button. But as his fingers settled upon it, that gravitational field first seemed to double, then treble. He tried to hold his finger up and off the button. It was like trying to hold the push-up position on the planet Jupiter.
"Drop it!"
the kid screamed from somewhere out on the rim of his darkness.
"Drop it! Drop it!"
"No!"
Pop screamed back.
"What I mean to say is, I can't."
The red button began to slide in toward its contact point. Kevin was standing with his legs spread, bent over the camera they had just taken from Libertier's, the box it had come in lying at his feet. He had managed to hit the button that released the front of the camera on its hinge, revealing the wide loading slot. He was trying to jam one of the film packs into it, and it stubbornly refused to go. It was as if this camera had turned traitor too, possibly in sympathy to its brother. Pop screamed again, but this time there were no words, only an inarticulate cry of pain and fear. Kevin smelled hot plastic and roasting flesh. He looked up and saw the Polaroid was melting, actually melting, in the old man's frozen hands. Its square, boxy silhouette was rearranging itself into an odd, hunched shape. Somehow, the glass of both the viewfinder and the lens had also become plastic. Instead of breaking or popping out of the camera's increasingly shapeless shell, they were elongating and drooping like taffy, becoming a pair of grotesque eyes, like those in a mask of tragedy. Dark plastic, heated to a sludge like warm wax, ran over Pop's fingers and the backs of his hands in thick runnels, carving troughs in his flesh. The plastic cauterized what it burned, but Kevin saw blood squeezing from the sides of these runnels and dripping down Pop's flesh to strike the table in smoking droplets which sizzled like hot fat.
"Your film's still wrapped up,"
his father bawled from behind him, breaking Kevin's paralysis.
"Unwrap it! Give it to me!"
His father reached around him, bumping Kevin so hard he almost knocked him over. He snatched the film pack, with its heavy foil paper wrapping still on it, and ripped the end. He stripped it off.
Help me!
Pop screeched, the last coherent words either of them heard him say. Quick! His father yelled, putting the fresh film pack in his hands. Quick! The sizzle of hot flesh, the patter of hot blood on the desk. What had been a shower now became a storm as the bigger veins and arteries in Pop's fingers and the backs of his hands began to let go. A brook of hot running plastic bracelet at his left wrist, and the bundle of veins so close to the surface there let go, spraying out blood as if through a rotten gasket, which has first begun to leak in several places and now begins to simply disintegrate under the insistent beating pressure. Pop howled like an animal. Kevin tried to jam the film pack in again and cried out, "Fuck!" as it still refused to go. "It's backwards," Mr. Delavan hollered. He tried to snatch the camera from Kevin, and Kevin tore away, leaving his father with a scrap of shirt and no more. He pulled the film pack out, and for a moment it jittered on the ends of his fingers, almost dropping to the floor, which, he felt, longed to actually hump itself up into a fist and smash it when it came down. Then he had it, turned it around, socked it home, and slammed the front of the camera, which was hanging limply downward like a creature with a broken neck shut on its hinge. Pop howled again, and... flash!